You're running on empty?
Good afternoon and welcome. You are listening to The Computer Guys, and I'm Dave.
And I'm Kevin, and we're The Computer Guys here from Macatawa Technologies for the next half hour to answer all your computer and technology-related questions.
That's right, Kev. If you're one of the few who aren't out frolicking in the warm summer-like weather and you're tuned into our radio show today, we'd like to hear from you, and the best way is to give us a call here. 395-1450 is the number here. Give us a call.
Or you can always send us an email. Even if you are out frolicking, you could just off the top of your head grab your BlackBerry or your smartphone and send us an email, even if you aren't listening to the show. And then you could check out the podcast later and actually hear the response. But it's computerguys@whtc.com. Go ahead, send us an email, and we'll do our best to get to it on the show.
Kevin, I'm a little shaky here. I had too much coffee this morning.
I had a lot of coffee, too. I'm feeling it.
Oh, yeah?
It's good. And then I just ate a little piece of Halloween candy to
there
give myself
you go.
A little extra sugar.
I saw that before we left the office, and I thought, man, if I have a piece of Halloween candy,
it's going to put you over the edge.
Yeah, I just might.
You'd be bouncing off the walls.
So we're ready here. Give us a call, 395-1450. We'll start out the show here today, Kev, with a little bit of news here. There's a lot going on. One of the things here is that I don't know if you heard AT&T's talking about now doing what Comcast has been implementing.
I did hear that, and I've actually got something here, but you go ahead.
All right. Well, AT&T may limit web subscribers' data use. And, of course, Kev, that's going to be a very interesting thing, but let's go ahead and first take this phone call. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Yeah, I got a question for you guys. We got a computer in the Dell, and in like the software virus protection stuff expires, you get a free trial.
Okay.
So I was kind of wondering, what would be the best kind of software to get, or you can resubscribe to what's on the computer. So I'll just hang up and listen to you guys.
Sure, a couple quick questions here first before we give you that recommendation. Is it just you using the computer, or is it a family computer?
It's a family computer, so.
Okay.
I mean, we got young kids, so it's not like they get on anything,
Sure.
Not without us knowing it, but.
Oh, sure, yep. Well, what about, are you just worried about keeping viruses off of the computer and problems like that, or are you worried more about content filtering as well?
Well, no, not so much content, because I'm not so worried about that at this stage in the game. But I'm just kind of worried about, getting the computer infected by something.
Sure. Are you running XP or Vista?
XP.
XP, okay. And about how old do you think the computer is?
We just got it this year, so it's probably 6 months old.
Okay.
It's a Dell.
Sure. Well, usually with the best recommendation for keeping viruses and Trojans, that type of thing off your computer, we usually recommend a paid version. It's called Norton Antivirus.
Okay, yeah.
And that's runs you about $45 a year. And that one we found, as far as just an antivirus protection, that's one of the best programs out there that we've experienced.
Yeah, and this is not to be confused with the Norton Internet Security Suite, which, like a lot of Internet Security Suites, they do a lot more than you probably actually need, and as such, they end up taking more from your computer and slowing things down quite a bit.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. It's like, we don't really visit sites that, I would think you'd get a virus on, but I'm
sure,
I don't want our computer getting infected.
Yeah, knowing it's cheaper to protect yourself than it is to clean up after you got one, so.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you want to take it even a step further, the next recommendation that we recommend, in addition to Norton, is a program called Spy Sweeper, and that one runs you about $35 a year. And that keeps you protected more from things that try to advertise on your computer or install spyware on your computer. And on Windows XP, on a newer computer like you're running, with Norton Antivirus and Spy Sweeper, you'll be protected from quite a bit running those two programs. And that's probably the best combinations that we've found.
Okay.
So bare bones, if you had to choose one, we'd say Norton Antivirus. But if you wanted a little higher level of protection against that spyware and adware, I'd say partner that with the Spy Sweeper.
All righty.
Okay?
All right, thanks.
Hey, thanks for your call.
All right, bye.
And Like I said, that's probably the best 1-2 combo we found. Unfortunately, there's no perfect program out there. Yep. And as good as Norton and Spy Sweeper are, there's always somebody, there's yep. always something out there, which is frustrating. You know, you think, hey, I paid $80 a year. Man, there are a lot of people out yep. there who are just...
It's not a guarantee.
They want to get that virus on your computer, and they're pretty smart.
And
you
it
know?
Depends on browsing habits, you know, how careful you are with the websites you go to. That makes a big difference. But, you know, one thing to mention is Norton has dramatically re-engineered their software for this year. And one of the claims is re-engineered for speed. And that, without a doubt, is true. The program seems to have to take up less space than it has before in many years. Response is faster. Overall system usage is lower, even though it's providing you a good level of protection. So really, you know, I know they've got a bad rap out there with being kind of sluggish. They've done a lot to alleviate that in the 2009 version of their antivirus software. So worth checking out.
Okay, I just got an email here, computerguys@whtc.com.
From somebody out in the sunny, beautiful weather.
Well, sort of. It's actually regarding our podcast. They're okay. wondering why we've switched to a paid format.
We haven't.
I didn't think that we had.
No, I should check that out. But
it's a podcast listener, it looks like, from Texas.
Okay. Well, let me check that out. But I don't think it should have gone to a free. No, it's still free.
Oh, we'll have to look into that, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
But we'll look into it anyway. So, back to just a minute ago, we were talking about AT&T is talking now about limiting web subscribers' data use. So obviously, this is something that Comcast has been doing. AT&T is going to initially apply the limits in Reno, Nevada, and see about extending the practice elsewhere. So increasingly, internet providers across the country are placing such limits on the amount of data users can upload and download each month as a way to curb a small number of bandwidth hogs who use a lot of the network capacity. For instance, 5% of AT&T's subscribers take up 50% of the capacity. You know, Kev, for our business, I'd say Mech Tech probably uses a good portion of that with all the downloading that we do for
think,
customers' computers.
You think we would
well, we
limit.
Have a business.
I know.
Absolutely. We hit it
so?
In like a week.
That'd be interesting to see. I should track that and just see what happens.
So they're talking about that. They're going to do it depending on the level of service that you have, the amount of gigs, which doesn't make it easy to track or figure out. But okay. Let's go ahead and take another phone call here. Good afternoon, caller. You're on with the Computer Guys.
Well, hello. This is Lori Saab. I had a question.
Sure.
A friend of mine was listening last week and mentioned that there was a lady that had advertised Chihuahua puppies or dogs or something.
For that, I'm not quite sure. You'd probably want to call the main number here. I can give you that if you want to take that down real quick.
Okay.
It's 392-3121.
Okay. There's no way you could help
No, them. Unfortunately,
no,
I give that number a call.
Not,
they should be able
yeah,
to help you.
It's not computer related. We pretty much deal exclusively with that.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Thanks.
No problem. And if you're listening out there, have any questions for the Computer Guys, give us a call, 395-1450.
Now, if that Chihuahua was inside of a computer and causing problems, we may have been able to address that. But unfortunately, we're not prepared for that.
So, Kev, I don't know. How do you feel about the AT&T download limits?
Well,
20 gigs a month for users of the slowest DSL service.
That's pretty small. I mean, in the bigger picture, because what I'm reading here is
up to 150 gigs a month for the 10 megabit service.
Okay. Hmm. Interesting.
So to exceed those limits, the subscriber would need to download constantly at maximum speeds for more than 42 hours, depending on the tier.
It would be nice if when they did this to kind of show you how much you're using on an average month. You know, as they start to implement it, say, you know, here are your approximately based on the last 6 months of use, you know, this is what you're looking at. So people will know, hey, I don't have anything to worry about, you know, or think, oh, man, maybe this is a good time to upgrade because I tend to use a lot. So I don't know. I hate to see these just go into place and then say, oh, sorry, you're over your limit. Oh,
look, Kev, I didn't read far enough. There's one little small note at the end. They say that they will allow you to track the usage on their website. So that's something to think about. And there it'll be $1 per gigabyte if you go over that, over the limits. So certainly something to think about. Obviously, it won't come to Holland or the surrounding areas just yet, but I would imagine that's just a matter of time.
Okay. Well,
you know, the funny thing is, you know, at my home, we hardly use the internet connection there for much. I mean, we download some email, check a little email, do some update the financial stuff.
Yep.
But other than that,
you watch some streaming videos, you watch some YouTube stuff.
Yeah,
you
know, but
you
not do. A lot. Not a lot.
See, you're on the best of YouTube. You were telling me about that.
Well, that's true. I was watching the best of YouTube. All right. If any of our listeners are out there listening and you've got an iPod or a Zune or any type of MP3 player, you've got to subscribe to the video podcast called Best of
YouTube.
You've
got to have a video MP3 player, older iPods or one of the other more basic ones.
Although technically you could play it in iTunes and it would work.
There you go.
But anyway, it's called the Best of YouTube, and they take it updates anywhere from once a day to once a week. It depends on, you know, when they find a video that is worth watching. It's awesome. They had one the other day. This guy starts out singing. And he's saying something crazy. You know, it doesn't even sound like English. And he's popping these balloons and he's doing this whole thing. And it doesn't sound really like anything. And then he stops.
He's popping balloons in his song?
Well, at the beginning, bang, bang, there's red and white balloons.
Okay.
And then it stops and they play it in reverse. He does the Star Spangled Banner. He sings it backwards.
Wow.
Now that takes some talent.
That does take some talent.
So then they play it backwards and you can hear it. And then the popping of the balloons comes at the end of the song for like his fireworks.
Oh, right.
It was awesome.
How come you didn't send it to me?
I don't know, because I don't have a link to it. But that's just one example. There is, Best of YouTube, if you've got a video MP3 player, I think it's just like bestofyoutube.com.
And you could probably go on your computer and watch it if you don't want to do that.
So. Yeah, but it's cool because YouTube's got so many videos that you could get lost on that site for hours. And what's nice about this is that they just filter out the good ones.
Yeah, they send you the best.
So it's always something funny or something really interesting. They had one, I won't get into all of them, but they had 1930s daredevils, like videos of people, you know, doing tightrope walking between skyscrapers and people who were in these bird suits trying to fly. It was,
wow.
It's one more thing you can use your computer for to
just quality time. Right?
Quality time. Quality absolutely.
Time. Way to use quality time.
Kev, also, we've got the end of an era.
Let's see what kind of era. Summer? End of the era?
It's not yet, apparently. The end of Windows 3.x.
Oh, really?
You name it. Windows 3.x has come to the closing moments of its long life. On the 1st of November, Microsoft stopped issuing licenses for the software that made its debut in May 1990 in the United States.
They've still been issuing licenses for that?
The various versions of Windows 3.x, including 3.11, released in the early 90s, were the first of Microsoft's graphical user interfaces to win huge worldwide success.
Who bought those? That's what I want to know.
Well, it was for a lot of point-of-sale computers.
Wow.
They were used for, let's see if I can find the info here, for a couple of airlines where they did their little in-flight movie stuff.
We're running on Windows 3.1.
It's amazing.
Which explains why it constantly crashes and stuff's not available.
Hey, there. I was coming back on a plane from France or Spain. I don't remember which one. It was running Linux, and you could watch boot up, and it crashed.
There you go. Take that, Linux.
Not
guys.
That Windows doesn't crash. I just thought
anything will crash sometime.
So Windows 3.x required an 8086 or 8088 processor or better.
You could run that on a graphing calculator.
Yep.
Sheesh.
That had a clock speed of up to 10 megahertz.
Ooh.
It needed at least 640 kilobytes of RAM, 7 megabytes of hard drive space, and a graphics card that supported CGA, EGA, and VGA graphics.
That is amazing that it went on that long. Wait, when you said in November? So November 1st?
November 1st, yep, just stopped.
That's a huge...
You can still buy it on eBay. Yep, 1990. And they were still selling licenses for it.
Wow.
So although, Kev, I don't know that Macatawa Technologies has had any customers bring in a Windows 3.1 system in quite a while.
No, it's been a while. We've seen a handful.
A few years ago.
Yeah, we've seen a handful. A couple old laptops. And people always say, oh, yeah, it's pretty old. We were never expecting it to be Windows 3.1 when it came in.
I'd say about, three years ago, you think, was the last time?
That is pretty old.
So by comparison, the Home Basic version of Vista requires a 32-bit, 1 gigahertz processor, 512 megs of RAM, 20 gigabytes of hard drive space, and a graphics card with at least 32 megabytes of memory.
So does that mean they're still selling licenses for, like, Windows 95?
That I do not know.
I kind of wonder about that, because I thought some of those had ended their cycle as well. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe they're still out there.
One of its most glamorous uses as an embedded operating system is to power the in-flight entertainment systems on some Virgin and Qantas long-haul jets.
Wow.
Windows 3.1.
I thought Virgin was supposed to be high-tech. Offering you the best in the experience, Windows 3.1 experience.
You know, it would still work reasonably well today, provided it only ran software released around the same time.
Yeah.
So, of course, it would not connect to the internet because it can't ward off any type of attacks or anything else.
Exactly.
So I didn't even know that that Microsoft would sell something that old.
That's amazing. Wow. That is. And also with Microsoft, Chinese customers are upset with them. Started out as an effort by Microsoft to fight piracy by turning some computer users' screens black. But that is some of its customers in China seeing red. Last week, Microsoft rolled out an updated anti-piracy tool. But some Chinese feel it's an invasion of privacy and have turned their own screens black in protest. The issue centers on Microsoft Windows' genuine advantage. The company uses the internet to determine whether a PC has a pirated copy of Windows. Such piracy is rampant in developing nations. If a computer running a bogus copy of Windows, the software phones home reports a fake and the PC's desktop turns black. The screen can be overridden, but it reappears every hour. It's designed to get users to break down and buy a legitimate copy of the operating system.
So you can replace that black screen with the blue screen?
Funny, Dave. Funny. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, so Microsoft's just going to annoy the pirates into purchasing it.
All right. You want to get rid of the screen? Just buy it. Hey, we're offering it like a buck?
It's pretty cheap.
By selling it for a couple dollars, and people still didn't buy it. So, serves you right. That's what I'm saying.
If you're out there listening, and if you have any questions for the computer guys, give us a call here at 395-1450. We'd be happy to help you in any way that we can here, provided it's related to technology here.
Yep.
Also, Kev, here's somebody. Apple is losing Tony Fidel, the man who made the iPod.
Shoot, I was going to read that. Do you really have the iPod? Yeah, I've got that. I'm all over it.
Okay. Well,
go ahead.
If Steve Jobs didn't loom so large in Apple's public persona, drawing the spotlight at every appearance, a lot fewer people would be asking that today. Fidel was, and until he leaves at an as yet undisclosed time for personal reasons, still is the top engineer in a company renowned for its engineering prowess. So the guy who is the top dog for the iPod is leaving. So,
well, and the interesting thing is, it's he and his wife. They both were involved in it, and they're both stepping back to devote more time to their young family. So, doesn't say how old he is, but
he didn't look that old in the picture. I don't have a picture on this story here, but earlier I was reading that, and I thought
he was probably just out of college, or maybe in college when he helped develop that. So. Pretty cool project that he worked on, and we'll see what happens to the iPod.
There's a lot of smart folks at Apple. So
there are.
They're not just going to throw in the towel on that.
But. No, and it still makes them a lot of money. So
I'm always amazed by the amount of iPods that are sold.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they've been out for since what, 2001? It was Christmas 2001 about when they came out in the fall. Because I remember when I was in college, that was the big thing. A few people got iPods. Mm-hmm. Remember when the wheel actually scrolled around it?
Oh, yeah, you had to... You know, spin it around all the way around. Yeah,
yeah, but then later they changed it where it didn't actually have that moving part.
Yep.
But I thought that was a pretty cool little.
And it was.
There were what, 5 gig and 10 gig models, I believe, at the time. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, the first hard drive ones.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. So it's come a long way, and the thing that's amazing to me is every time they come out with a new version, the number of people that run out and buy that. That it's new and better and different than what they have. You know, it still plays music, just does a lot of other stuff. I'm sure you've seen the commercials for the new one. where they're like playing the video games and it's motion sensitive and everything.
See, that doesn't appeal to me. That's not a reason I'd buy the iPhone or the iPod Touch.
I still have to say it's pretty cool. Like, yeah, regardless of whether I would actually do that if I had one, the fact that you've got a device of that size that's capable of doing all those things, it's pretty amazing. So
we'll see if the iPhone competes with the T-Mobile G1, Google's Android, this winter.
That's right, which is still getting off the ground. So this is interesting. Sony's in the news again for recalling battery packs. How many times does it take? I don't know what's going on over there. This is like the third round of this. It seems like they
apparently they've got some problems.
Get it right. Another laptop computer battery recall for Sony. The electronics company says five computer makers are recalling 100,000 lithium. Now, this is a lot smaller. 100,000 lithium-ion battery packs it made. Batteries were sold around the world in laptops made by HP, Toshiba, Dell, Lenovo, and Acer. Sony reports that there have been 50 reports of the batteries overheating, in some cases producing smoke or flames. Sony is the second largest maker of lithium-ion batteries in the world. 2 years ago, Sony was involved in a recall of more than 9 million units of higher-capacity batteries. So this is a lot smaller recall. That recall affected almost all the world's PC makers. Again, certain PC makers got a bad rap from this, but it affected almost everybody. The cost to Sony was more than $400 million. That's pricey.
Well, and you know, a lot of the first big one was with the Dell laptop batteries.
Yep.
And so Dell sort of got a bad rap. You know, hey, what's the deal here? I don't want to buy a Dell. It's got exploding batteries. Yep. Well, they weren't Dell batteries. They were made by Sony.
Which makes, you know, the number two manufacturer makes them for almost everybody. So it did end up affecting, you know, a lot of other companies as well. So
speaking of which, batteries, Kev, my laptop battery is pretty much officially dead now.
Really?
2 years it made it.
2 years? Well, the warranty's a year on a laptop battery, so.
Yep, and that's a thing that surprises a lot of people. They'll buy a laptop.
Buy the extended warranty.
And it doesn't cover the battery.
No, nope. Battery carries its own warranty of a year. So, and that's true for the most part in all makes and models.
And, you know, one of the things that's always surprised me is the difference in how long batteries last on laptops, depending on, for instance, you know, my parents had gotten a Dell laptop. It's maybe 3.5 years old now. Battery still works great.
Mm-hmm. They don't ever use it, though, do they?
Not a lot.
Not a lot.
But, no. You know, I didn't use my laptop on battery a ton, but now it's dead.
Mm-hmm. And there's differing philosophies on what's the best way to maintain the battery. And there's always new research coming out. But the thing that I read the other day, it was everything's rated in cycles. And so basically when you use up that number of cycles, that's when your battery kind of starts to expire. So
I don't think I get my full amount of cycles.
No.
Well, I'm plugged in most of the time.
That's the thing, though. Even they say when you're plugged in, it will continue to cycle. Because it'll discharge a little bit and then it'll charge back up. And that depends on the model of the computer and the battery and all of that. But there's a lot of research as to what's the best way to do that. And I'm not sure that anybody has a clear idea of it yet.
Now, back in the day, Kev, you used to hear that it was good to charge your laptop down all the way pretty much to empty.
Yep. They say now with the new battery technologies, every once in a while, that's not a bad idea. But you don't have to do it as often as you used to. The whole memory effect that's created in those batteries is just not as much of a problem in the newer battery technology.
Same thing with cell phone batteries?
Yeah. I think with cell phone batteries, I mean, the nature of it being a phone and it's like you just got to have it. And rarely do people use their phones when they're plugged in. You know, people just charge it at every opportunity. And that's kind of what they're designed for. So they're pretty forgiving when it comes to that.
And laptop batteries are usually a little bit more expensive than people would think, too. You're looking at anywhere from, for a decent new battery,
mm-hmm.
you know, $100, $125.
Yep. To some of the higher capacity ones, up to $175 sometimes I've seen.
Yep.
And the thing about that, too, is you want to make sure that if at all possible, you get the original battery for your system. They seem to perform better. Certain batteries won't communicate properly with your computer, and then you'll get error messages about it not finding the battery or not charging properly. And so if at all possible, it's not a bad idea to get the manufacturer-made batteries.
Kev, I don't know if you happen to catch this. There was an article on CNN, and it's been posted on a lot of different places, about anonymous anger is running rampant on the internet.
Ooh, anonymous
anger.
Have
you heard about this?
No, I haven't heard about this.
It starts out, there's a whole world of people out there, and boy, are they mad. There are tons of different websites. For instance, mybiggestcomplaint.com.
Wow.
Different places where people can actually go and anonymously just, it's kind of like a soapbox. They can say whatever they want, get upset, and post it. And I mean, there's a lot of people out there, different, whether it's a blog where they try to remain a little more anonymous, or, you know, somebody has an article and you can go and post comments. Have you ever noticed that if there's an article, you read some of those comments?
They're horrible.
They can be pretty bad.
And then all of a sudden, somebody goes down a rabbit trail and the comments go in the direction where it has nothing to do with the article or anything even related. It's somebody who just wants to throw their opinion in there and somebody attacks their opinion. Yeah, I think that's probably where I noticed the anger thing the most, is probably in those comment sections.
Yep. One of the reasons for the anger, experts say, is the being anonymous.
I would agree with that.
Or perception of anonymous
on the internet.
People who put their comments on there seldom use their real names. And even if they do, the chance for retaliation is slim.
Yeah.
In the pre-internet era, you had to take ownership of your remarks. Now there's a perception of anonymity. People think what they say won't have repercussions, and they don't think they have to soften their comments. It's hard to be aggressive when you're face-to-face, but if you're posting anonymously to comments, whether it's on you're reading Newegg because you want to buy some new computer parts, or the Holland Sentinel even has online spot for comments and that type of thing.
Sure.
It's easy to just spout off because, hey, it's anonymous, you know?
Why not?
Nobody's going to catch you, so.
Yeah, interesting.
It was just kind of an article, I thought, and it is true, you know, unfortunately there's, and that's obviously not everybody does that, but I've never thought of going to a website to do mybiggestcomplaint.com. And I'm not saying go to that site because I've never been there, but.
That's never struck me as an idea that I was so mad that I just needed to go post it on the internet.
Although, you know, one of the downsides too, Kev, to technology is, have you ever gotten an email where you read it and you think somebody is mad at you, or you read more into it because the email does not convey emotion very well?
I see that. Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to just read it and get things, you know, your perception goes in there and you kind of maybe misinterpret something and that person's not there to correct that. And so you hold that in your head, that grudge or whatever comes as a result of that for too long. Then you find out later that, you know, there was no malintent.
Yep. So, well, Kev, here's, we've just got
remember that.
A couple minutes left. If you want to give us a call, 395-1450, we'd be happy to take your call. Got a quick little note here. Google has released Google Apps, which has been online for a while. Allows you to do different documents and different things like that.
Sure.
And the question has been, will Microsoft do something similar to that? So Microsoft is showing off their online applications. They're lightweight versions of Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote. So it's called Office Web. And surprisingly, it runs in Firefox and Safari, not just Internet Explorer.
That's a good thought. Good job.
So it will not be free. You know, that's one of the things. I mean, Google is, I mean, they can, they're making so much money with advertising that they're able to give away pretty much everything for free.
Right now. The question is that always going to be the case?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question.
You know, because it's the same thing with, you know, a lot of software where you get used to it, you get all your data in that format, and then all of a sudden the game changes, and are you going to switch? Nothing's going to carry over. Maybe they decide to make it paid. You know, they never promised you it would always be free.
Right.
All of a sudden you start having to pay for that. Well, if you want to have your information, well, you're going to have to pay for it. So
it's definitely, it's, you know, it's one of those things that people have talked about for years. I remember 10 years ago reading an article about how you eventually, in a few years, you would no longer buy a Dell or an Apple or an HP. You would just buy a computer, and that computer would be connected to the internet, and it would bring
everything
you to,
would happen on the internet.
Yeah, and everything would be there. You'd pay, if you wanted to use Office applications, you'd pay a certain amount per month. If you wanted to use email, you'd pay a certain amount. But on the one hand, yes, we have seen some of that.
Yep.
But it hasn't happened like I thought it would.
Well, I think one of the biggest limitations is internet speeds. Like with the bandwidth that we have, the reality of trying to do everything that we do on our home computers on a terminal that does it over the internet, it would be so painfully slow right now. All the media that we use, all the photos, all the video, all of that. And you know this, every time you need to go upload photos to, you know, let's say a site where you're going to get them printed, it takes a long time. You know, with the speeds that we have on the internet, that's not going to happen today.
Well, it's getting there, though. You know, you hear a lot about these netbooks, and I almost kicked the computer over under the desk here.
Better not do that. Who knows what would happen?
I don't know. It looks like an important computer, though.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Microsoft is coming out with something like that. Exactly what it'll be, how they'll charge for it, still something to be worked out. I think a lot of it comes down to control, too. You know, a lot of people, they just don't like the idea of paying a little monthly subscription fee for that. They like to own it, you know? Yep. I bought Microsoft Office, and it is mine. I have the CD.
I can install it on this computer, and then later I can install it on that one if I take it off this one. So, yeah, I agree. Hey, and this ties right in. Is Google getting too big for its internet britches? Maybe not, but some people are concerned that the growing power of the popular search site is causing some people to have concerns. As more people use the site to run searches, some users are wondering what happens to that kind of sensitive information that is collected by the site. Especially since Google has rolled out its own internet browser called Chrome. At the same time, Google is coming under scrutiny over its proposed ad partnership with Yahoo. Both lawmakers and the Justice Department are looking into the deal with an eye toward whether the union could unfairly drive up online ad prices. More about that next week. That music means it's the end of another show. Thanks for tuning in today. If we weren't able to take your call, give us a call during the week. 394-4940 is our number. We are from Macatawa Technologies. We're located on the south side of Holland at the corner of 31 and 32nd Street. Also, check out the podcast. Type WHTC into the iTunes Music Store, and you can listen to us anytime you want.
Thanks again, and have a great week.